Yeah, I am, but I would consider moving an amendment, but I don't think I've got the support in the chamber, so I'm not going to bother. With Cockabudgee, Councillor Byram and Councillor Telfer.
I would like to move a motion in regards to this one, and I actually have put up an alternate option to the three that have been put up there in the summary.
Councillor Byram, does it add to one of the existing options, or...?
It's actually a combination of option one and two.
Right. Well...
With a few less things, but it's putting a point in between option one and two. So as we've got another level.
Oh, yeah, and I commend you for previously providing the wording, because
yes.
That does avoid confusion. So that's up on the screen now. You tell us when you're happy with it.
Right, so we're looking at pursuing a relationship that explores opportunities for schools and other educational organisations to participate, and to reactivate the Sister Cities Friendship Group, who are to bring back to Council recommendations for the future Sister City interactions.
And Councillor Byram, point of clarification, does your motion deal with membership of the Sister City Association?
I would like to leave that to the Friendship Group to say, recommend whether there's value in doing that.
Right. So I understand it leaves it to be addressed later.
Yes.
Yep. So that's the motion. Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer, you're seconding? Councillor Telfer, I'll just ask if Councillor Byram, you had more... you wish to speak?
Yes,
to
the
motion.
I do wish to speak to it. Thanks, Your Worship. One of the things that I have seen with this program is that we've really concentrated on the education side and students coming in, with the particularly the high schools. Late last year, Hallett Cove After 12 indicated to me that after this year, they didn't want to continue with this program, and I did speak with Seaview High School as to whether they would like to move ahead with it. They are looking at that at the moment, but they haven't given us an answer yet as to whether they wish to do that. The other thing that has happened since then is we had the visit from the Keysire University in Cockabudgee in February this year, which was the first time that event happened. That did take quite some years to bring that event about, and I do know that was the previous mayor, and Peter Laverne, I'm not sure on how to pronounce his name. He was the past principal of Hallett Cove After 12, and they were some of the main instigators of that program, but it did take a long time for it to come about. Some councillors may be concerned about the fact that we seem to be going through a third party at the moment with that program. There has been a request from Keysire, came last Friday, to actually have the dates for next February for the next visit from that university. I had a meeting today at Flinders University with looking at making sure that we do have that direct communication with Council to improve that relationship and that interaction with the university from Cockabudgee. I must just say, with that visit that we had, I was very, very impressed with the other councillors. He won't know this yet, but Mayor Hanna was very, very eloquent with his talking in Japanese, and the students were, and the staff from the university were very, very impressed with that particular day that they were hosted here. One of the questions I think that a lot of people have is, what benefit does it actually give to council? And I'm hoping that the committee, by coming back together, can really look at that, because it's not only the student interaction that we have within our community, but it's also how we can build other things. And the fact that they've got the Hitachi Central Research Lab in Cockabungie, and we've got Tonsley. Surely we should be looking at building relationships there and improving on those things. The amount of money also that is brought into our city by a lot of these students, and what is interesting at IELI, they want to really develop the relationship with the council here. Sure, they're right on our border, just outside our border, but they are the university that services this area. And they have 260 to 300 students at any given time, which over 50% do live in the city of Marion. And the monies that are brought into the area are incredible. And I know I'm out of time, but can I just state what some of those are? Thank you. The Deloitte 2011 study showed that students brought into Australia spending of $15.1 million, of which $840,000 was in South Australia, but an additional $317 million is brought into Australia by their visiting relatives and friends. The South Australian Education Fact Sheet 2013 showed that it poured $879 million into the South Australian economy from a lot of these student relationships. Now, not all of them are sister city things, but they are things that then develop on from sister cities. Thank you.
I was going to move a different motion, but I'm very happy to support that motion. My take on it is that we should remain as current old friends. And I think it would be totally insulting to write to the mayor of Cockabungie and say we're ending our friendship. I'm just even upset that that's sort of listed in that way in the agenda, because we have taken 22 years to build up a worthwhile link, and we may not want to put huge resources in the future into this, but we still want to keep our friends. Yes. And so we want to go on keeping those friendships and building our links. I have found the links between countries extremely valuable. I went with a group from Holdfast to their sister city, and with a group of 10 school children. And I have seen the growth in the students, the impact of seeing another culture, another world is very important. So for me, I would support this in terms of what it does for our community and what it does for Cockabungie. But over and above that, I would hope that we can sort the sister cities friendship group rather than just be paying out money.
Mr. Mayor, yes, it's an open point. I was here when it all started, and I was happy to participate, remember having a marvellous Japanese tea ceremony in here at one point. It started off with a lot of enthusiasm and vigour, and haven't seen the rivers of gold, but needless to say that we did try trade relationships with them. I remember once we gathered up wine from the Curran Vale and nuts and packaged them all up, and a lot of them got damaged on the way, but that's another story. But it didn't work. And as much as the concept is fine, my experience is that it hasn't worked. It's also interesting that back in October, 6 months ago, the election, I didn't see anybody having their literature that they distributed for the ratepayers that I support sister cities. Or
point of order.
I will be.
Did have it in his book.
But Councillor Anstey didn't get elected, and I wonder why. I wonder why members.
Well,
poor old Anstey didn't get elected because he He put sister cities in his material.
Point of order. I actually find that disrespectful.
No, I'm not comfortable with that.
I'll ask him to withdraw his comment.
Councillors, just settle down, please. Look, the if there was an inaccuracy or rudeness, it's not really a point of order, depending on how far it goes, I suppose. So I don't accept the point of order, but it's something that ought to be corrected if it's not true.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll let Councillor Hull resume. None of those who were successful had it in their material as accurate. Mr. Mayor, it's not a winner in the community. I think the community now has had enough time to judge this so-called sister city relationship. I think it's actually probably a bit sad it's been an unbalanced relationship. I think that the Japanese people gave more to the relationship than we did. And I think that if we need to be embarrassed, it's because of our past inactions with the relationship, because it was a lopsided affair. That's how I saw it. I was embarrassed about that for some time. And I think rather than prolong this, we should actually put a stop to it and gracefully and with some dignity say, I'm sorry, but, you know, this relationship is not really working. And we call it quits. Mr. Mayor, this will actually also follow the city of El Paso in Texas that was once a sister city relationship with us, which was clearly defined back in the day as a junket by the mayor and the staff who went over to El Paso. And the other sister city relationship we have is Naracoorte. Now, I haven't heard a thing about Naracoorte for years. Once again, that started off with vigour, and I went down there, and that was nice, and you know, the land of Mary MacKillop and beyond. But it didn't work either. Now, if the good councillor was putting forward a motion that we actually have a sister city relationship with Timor-Leste, that this actually had a humanitarian, you know, leg up for a third world situation, I would be probably a lot more sympathetic. But, you know, to recreate this sister cities friendship group that seemed to be a self-interested group about, you know, wanting to travel on the shirt strings of the council, well, no, I'm not interested. I'm sorry, you know, it's not easy for me to take this position because I've always been a supporter. But my support has... If the members who are on the previous council would probably have noticed that my support was slowly but surely waning over the years. And I'm not going to support a nonsense that has got a price tag for the ratepayer.
Your Worship, look, I don't support us paying money for people to go there and things like that. I don't think this motion actually says that we're going to spend any money. It doesn't actually talk about any money at all. I think the important thing for us is, look, we're starting a new... the Japanese have been known for the innovation. We've got Hitachi in that city. Let's try to leverage some of that in that sort of relationship with the stuff we're doing at Tonsley, because that is the centre of innovation. The issue, I think, it is, and having those minds, the outlook from another part of the world is actually beneficial because they look at things differently. So having that relationship, facilitating that in some way, in some slight way, I also think that we need to be aware of, especially Japan, what's called saving face. And for us to say no thank you is a really, I guess, sorry? Is a real slap in the face. And I think that it's the sort of thing that we'd probably want to wait for them to say, but they would not want to say it to us because they would want to that would see that as offensive. So I think let's do it without it costing much, if any, money, and let's try to get something out of it and take a new approach. And it shouldn't be, and I agree with Councillor Hull, you know, I don't think these should be junkets. And I don't think it should be just for vested interests, small interests in the community. So let's see what we can make out of it.
Thank you, Worship. I don't support the motion. I think it's such an 80s thing, the Sister Cities program, and I think it's time we moved on, frankly.
Yeah, I'm just interested to whether we've got any feedback from our sister city. What do they think of this? Does anybody actually know?
Could you be able to...
Can you repeat the question? Now, I'm interested to know if anybody has had any contact with our sister city to find out their opinion of this.
Through the chair.
I might say in support of that, that to be fair, you don't sound out to say, look, we're thinking of dropping you, what do you think of that? Because it sort of has the diplomatic effect you were seeking to avoid. So I think we do have to form a position first and see where that goes. Councillor Pryor?
That's true, but I mean, if we're sister cities, then perhaps we'd be talking, say, every now and then. I mean, I talk to my sisters every now and then, so I kind of know what they're going to do before they do it, generally. So, do we have a relationship with these guys or not is what I'm trying to get to.
It's probably been a faltering relationship, but a continuing one. And I think what has brought this on more than anything is Hallett Cove School, which had, for almost the entire period of the sister city relationship, a strong relationship with institutions in Cockabungie. Hallett Cove School unilaterally decided to cease that relationship. What's left with us is that there is interest from this university that they have in Cockabungie, and there is some continuing link, I mean, an annual visit, to the extent of an annual visit, and some communication with Flinders. And I can say that I received numerous Christmas cards from dignitaries of Cockabungie, and I'm somewhat shamed that I didn't send any to them, but I didn't get them until the end of January, so maybe there's some excuse for it. But if this motion's adopted, I'll be sending Christmas cards next December. In essence then, it's been stronger, it's been faltering. If the motion is passed, there might be some efforts to reinvigorate it. That's about all I could add to the debate, by way of information, I mean. Councillor Gard. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. I'll be voting against this. I think this relationship ended decades ago, to be honest, and I think we're just Japanese haven't quite realised it yet, even though you didn't send them a Christmas card. The reason why Hallett Cove faltered is because the community themselves and the parents of the students there weren't interested in continuing the relationship. They couldn't even get people to look after the students when they came over. I think that should be taken into account. It's quite clear that council haven't had really any ongoing involvement in this relationship. When the school was actually in the progress of pulling out, they actually believed that council weren't involved anymore. I didn't even know if we were actually still had them on our books or we were involved in them. If you are thinking of maintaining a sister city, there's a little place called Sheffield in South Yorkshire. It's got one of the biggest shopping centres and is very close to Marion, and I'd be supporting that motion if we want to reinvigorate a sister city.
Just some advice, firstly, for the Mayor, that when I'm overlooking sending replies to people, I usually eventually send it by C-mail, and that sort of gets across the problem when they see the stamp on it. I think no one got that, but anyway. Point I was going to make is that I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I think that there's a strategic directions committee issue here, not issue but idea, in that we can reach out a lot more across the world this way. And what I like about it is that it's not sort of like cold-hearted benchmarking where you go out after another council somewhere in the other side of the world, but it has a wonderful array of social levels to it. And I don't think we've been talking a heck of a lot about assets and, you know, physical assets in the council since we've been in our seats. And I would hope that as the year goes on, we'll get more time to talk about the more personal social side of the people we represent. And I think it's great enrichment, this idea. I always have, but it's not a new idea. It's just that councils have not been as visible as whole cities at adopting it. So I believe that, I agree with the last thing that Bruce said. We Councillor Hull has said that we really haven't made the effort we could have. And it's the old story, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And I think we should look to ourselves on that and not judge the exercise before we judge ourselves. So there is my argument in favour of the motion. I think that we ought to not only adopt the motion, but I think we should strategically look at how we can use that general idea in our directions committee.
If we do actually are looking at ceasing the relationship, we should include the words, "It's not you." but seriously, if there's not a great deal of effort or expense on the city's behalf spent on this, and there are a number of councillors interested, as far as I'm concerned, we should leave it active. It can't be anything beneficial. It's not a disbenefit. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. There isn't a lot of obvious benefit initially with these sort of programs. Often the benefits are realised many, many years later, but there is benefit from these programs, and I like to say that I'm one of those that is a result of that having been a student exchange. Well, I like to think that it's helping me in this current role in council. Just to answer some of the questions too with what Councillor Hull said, I believe there has not been enough effort made in this, and which is why I have suggested that we have that Sister Cities Friendship Group reinstigated. I'm not talking about junkets, I'm talking about real innovative future of how we can utilise these programs. I believe there is value in it, and I believe we can get good relationships going. And not just with Japan. Timor-Leste is asking in a couple of years' time to be a sister city with us. I know that is in the process. We have more Timor-Leste people coming out later this year who want internships here at Marion. That is one of the things that I think that this friendship group can look at, is these relationships, and we can move forward with them. The question about Narracourt, I do know that the ban's been going down there because it is the sister city. So there is something that has been happening with Narracourt. I don't know how recent that was, but I was told that that was something that happened with that. One of the reasons why the Howard Kaivata 12 has actually failed, or is that they're looking at wanting to change that, is that the current program actually has home families billeting the students for free. Now, it is an exchange process that goes the same way the other way. But most of the students that come now to study in all the countries do pay for accommodation. So what was behind was that changing of the way that program worked. And if they do look at that, they do still have to pay something for accommodation, that will probably change. So that is something that that friendship group can look at as well, is how those programs are run, and that we do progress, that we don't stay in the 80s, that we do progress to the current time. And I believe this is something that can really progress through the future, not just on the student side, because that's been our main emphasis. We've got so much more that we need to look at in ways that we can develop these sister city relationships. And I think it is a positive, innovative future that we can generate. So I fully support it.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, it's carried. Division called. All those in favour, please stand in your place. In support, councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Pryor, Westwood, Byram, Valescu and Gard. Please sit down. All those against, please stand. Councillors Hutchinson, Hull, Appleby and Crossland. The motion is indeed carried. So we move to the next item on page 70 of your agenda. The 2015 Local Government General Meeting Agenda. Now, this is a curious process where you tell me what to say when I go along to the meeting. There is still time. I know it's not until the 1st of May. There is still time to train a monkey to do it. Sorry, Councillor Hull? to say goodbye. I will allow that point of humour. I'm looking for a motion, councillors. Councillor Telfer. What is your motion, councillor?
My motion is that the mayor or proxy vote as they see fit. I have never been in a situation where this has happened before. And in the past, mayors have gone to the meetings and reacted to what was happening, having done their homework on the motions and knowing their council. But we have an indication here of where council believes it seems sense, and I've been through them and they seem sense, but I believe the mayor or the proxy should vote as sees fit, so I so move.
Yes, is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, do you wish to speak, Councillor Crossland?
No, thank you, I just agree with what Councillor Telfer
said. Is anyone speaking against that motion? Councillor Hull?
Yeah, this actually is a snapshot of my concerns about the LGA, where now we can sit down and look at, and we got this here tonight, for and against the, you know, the motions. You know, some of them are actually important motions if our name is going to be attached to it. And I have heard that our proxy has actually voted the opposite way to what we wanted in the last council term. Correct me if I'm wrong. I did hear that happen. The proxy view. Not you. No, well, I was looking for you for support rather than attributing the blame, Mr. Mayor. But which makes a whole mockery of this exercise, because why ask us to actually indicate our support one way or another for motion when our proxy can go ahead and do whatever they want? It's a nonsense. And this is my broader concern about the LGA. It's not representative. We pay $96,000 a year to the LGA, and I believe that that must be funded in some way. I did ask the question about who funds the ALGA, and I'm told that we don't pay anything, but I'm sure the LGA on our behalf pays a fee. But in any event, we're talking about the South Australian Local Government Association with this, and I'm not going to support this at all. I see the LGA, Mr. Mayor, as another level of bureaucracy that this state can ill afford. There are something like 50 staff members in there. The average wage I've worked out is $86,000 a year, average. And our ratepayers are paying that, along with Holfast Bay and, you know, other councils all around the state. So. Now, I'm just over the LGA, just like I am about the sister city relationship. So I'm on a roll tonight about my over relationships. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, tonight.
But you would say it's not us, it's them. Okay, Councillor Gard.
I just had a few queries about the one or two of the votes. I take on board what Councillor Hull is saying too. I think there is no doubt we have to review our situation with the as far as support or being members of the LGA is concerned. There's many arguments against it, and I agree with most of us that there's not a hell of a lot for that are obvious. Okay. So if I could just make the point that what do we do in the instance of one or two points? I mean, generally speaking, I would agree with the way the votes are put, but there's one or two that I really feel are a bit of an issue. So do we just say nay? Or? Yes. Okay. Okay, now perhaps I wouldn't choose to do that, but I certainly would think it'd be good to exercise the option to send a communique to the proxy and get them perhaps to have a second think about one or two. Well, yes, I'll just 30 seconds on each one. 8.1 speaks of being against raising penalties for unpaid rates. I think the fact that councils do have discretion, and it's a great big unknown as to why people may not pay their rates at any one time. And I think that 2% is lip service, really. It's, to me, not something I would want to see locked in, whilst we know that councils do have discretion. Further down, at the end of 8.3, what has been put, beginning top of page 76, furthermore, that the LGA forward the above letter to the Australian Local Government Association and urge formalised... and it's incomplete. And finally, I was very interested to know what Councillor Howell's opinion might be of 8.5, irrespective of whether he votes for the motion or not, because to me, isn't it better to be on the more conservative side and there be a total fire ban if there is a disastrous event of some kind and someone has the power to introduce a fire ban, total fire ban, for a very good reason, why would you not exercise that? So I can't see why you would just want a pussyfoot, as that vote would suggest, under 8.5.
Reading the column here, agree with the LGA response that after consultation with the CFS, although the motion has merit, it is necessary because of the existing policy and procedure declaration of total fire ban days. Now, today is a total fire ban day in the Adelaide Hills, believe it or not, and that was declared yesterday. Now, I believe that process has served us well, that it's anticipated the day before because they go through the fire index FBIs, and that's all done on relative humidity, wind speed, and all temperatures and all that. I think that system works. The other part of that system is that it actually prompts Operation Nomad to kick into gear the day before, and all the local service areas enlist more police to come on board to deal with our fireboat. So I think that what's written there is probably apt. I think that that it might be unnecessary to do that, because it hasn't been an issue with Wongaree, hasn't been an issue with Sampson Flat. I don't think it is an issue, personally.
Thank you, Your Worship. Members, look, the motion as read, I don't think I need to add anything further to this other than to say certainly to dispel any rumours about it being a Shark Tank motion or anything to that effect is certainly unwarranted. I think it's an important thing that members have a full and complete understanding of the organisation in which they're managing at this point in time. And therefore commend the motion to you. Does that actually stand at that meeting, or can I override him? Well, look, the timing of this was important to complete it within that time frame. So I'm not sure what... I'll take the mood of the meeting on that one, whether they're keen to do SDC or have that on another night. I'll move it as printed because I got in first.
First one start on the week beforehand. Yes, but I'd like to move an amendment. Basically, like I understand that this was brought forth early, and I did look at what was available for other elected members and also the independents. So if we start a week earlier, that still doesn't delay the process, and perhaps the more prepared or easier ones could be done first. And we can still have the strategic directions. And my intention be...
I'm happy to amend it.
My amendment was just that it starts the week before instead of the 4th, and the 4th is the strategic directions based on the feedback given from elected members and from the independent members. So the 11th, 18th, 25th. So it still doesn't delay it for Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Worship. Look, I'm not entirely against the actual spirit of it, but I think, and the comment's been made that it's time critical within the comments, that it's time critical that we do it prior to the recruitment of a new CEO, but I'd actually contend that it may actually be worth doing it after you recruit a CEO, so that the new CEO can actually figure out a bit about the organisation as well, considering it is the CEO who runs the organisation. We only have one employee. We don't have these people, these members who, these staff members who we're pertaining to, aren't our employees. The CEO is our employee, so it makes sense therefore to do this after you get a new CEO, in my mind. I know that there's implications with KPIs, but that was just my thoughts on that.
Thank you, Your Worship. In moving the motion, I'm going to amend my printed motion after I've done some research. Okay. I'm amending it to that the tree programs only remove a maximum of one third. Now, the reason for that, members... thank you. So in reading the council staff's response, I've actually had a look at the standards, not only in Australia but globally, and I have them here about crown raising, that are always maintain live branches on a tree on at least two-thirds of a tree's total height. Removing too many lower branches will hinder the development of a strong stem. And that is what we are seeing across Marion. In the example that I provided, I wish I had photos of these particular trees previously, because they are 75% of their foliage was removed. With that said, members, I think you've seen it all. You've heard me enough talk about it. These are the facts. I think we need to tie council staff to these standards and enforce them, because at the moment it doesn't seem to be occurring.
Yes, I do. I had a similar experience with mature trees in Sussex Street in Warradale, where residents called me there concerned. It's not the first time it's happened in this street. It was like Edward Scissorhand had gone down the street. You know, and the irony is, Mr. Mayor, that the City of Unley letterboxed their citizens recently to advise them to be aware that SA power networks were coming, you know, to be vigilant that these tree hackers were going to destroy their street trees. Well, I think maybe we should do that here, but in our case, it's actually to warn them that the council is coming down your street. Because these street trees are actually valued assets. They've actually got a capital value, Mr. Mayor, and what they're doing is actually is tantamount to vandalism of our assets. I've sent photos to the staff. They know what I'm talking about. In fact, some agree with me that it was excessive. Now, this has got to stop, because if it doesn't stop, I'm going to be seeking their removal from our staff. That's how strongly I feel about it. I don't want them on our staff if they're going to continue to butcher our street trees that take years and years to actually get to that stage. They are there for good reason. If we're really serious about climate change, adaptation and all that, this nonsense has got to stop, because we're relying on these street trees to be part of the solution, not for us to sort of have some macabre outlook about how they're shaped. Councillor Hutchinson sent round a comical email that had a picture of a bonsai tree. Well, it wasn't funny to me, because it was just so typical of what they were doing with our street trees, and I'm appalled. And really, it has to stop. There needs to be some remedial training for those staff. If they're not prepared to actually curb their ways, find another job.
I don't know what the solution is and the reason that this has happened, but I think it does need to be put on the agenda because it did cause a fair bit of angst in our valuable assets. Obviously, I don't know if any of the staff wanted to comment at all as to, on the issue, but if they're comfortable doing so, the senior staff, yeah. Seeing us here now.
Yes, good evening, members, and through the chair. Definitely, I feel that there has been some excessive pruning, and we've been working with our staff to work through the issues, and definitely some further training is required.
Or is this, in your opinion, you're comfortable to proceed with this motion, from a delivery point of view?
Mentioning the 30%, which we talked about, which has been brought up, no more of a tree would ever be removed in those circumstances, and that is the limit that's put on. Say, for example, significant and regulated trees, no more than 30% can be removed, dead, dying, diseased branches without a development application. Therefore, you can filter down and say that for a young tree or a mature tree that's not regulated, you could still remove the same amount. That's not saying that that's what's required for any individual tree. But I'd also like to add, for a juvenile tree, you are right, Councillor Hutchinson, in saying that for any newly planted or juvenile tree, the bottom two-thirds of the branches are essential in developing the correct taper or trunk diameter of any given tree. Now, in the situation where the pruning occurred, I do concur. Those trees should not have been pruned. What we're talking about here is formative pruning of young trees, which only pertains to within 1 to 20% maximum of any young tree where you've got co-dominant stems or crossing branches which need to be removed. Otherwise, other than that, they should be left alone. So I do agree with that.
This is only a minor point, but Mr. Reynolds, in the motion, it talks about pruning not more than a third. It's a fraction more than the 30% you've mentioned. Does that change your answer at all?
In no circumstances is more than any 30% removal of a tree required, other than removal.
Yes, I certainly sympathise with Councillor Hutchinson on this, but the one thing that does concern me in general and in principle about this is that it is sort of bordering on a micro dictation to management about something that is a very, very much in the court of management by my observation. Now, I do appreciate there could be situations where you may want to, for correctness sake or just to represent one's community, put down a definite law, and this isn't a guideline, this is actually putting it down as cannot be breached, and if it is to be breached, there has to be good reason. I would hope that our management would be able to take a grip on a situation like this. There's always times when things get out of hand, and that allows management to spot a problem and coach staff accordingly. So I just on that basis, I balk, albeit I thoroughly agree with the cause of the motion.
Yeah, I have some concerns and echo some of what Councillor Gard has said. my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, and probably is going to be a question, is that the motion is really a duplication of your own rules, and even with this motion in place, if that one worker goes out there and prunes the trees again, he's breached the council rules and a motion, and I don't understand how this motion will actually benefit council, because the rules are already there, but this motion's duplicated.
So, staff to comment.
That's a fair enough question as well. What I'd like to say is that the trees in question were pruned as part of a block pruning program in Glandore, which started in Glandore, and therefore the trees would not be pruned again for the next foreseeable future, say 3-year cycle, as we move through the rest of the area.
Can I just clarify then? So is what you're saying is that the trees that were pruned in this way didn't breach your own guidelines?
The guidelines were breached for the pruning of those trees. They should have been left alone unless someone had made a specific request that they were obstructing vision, which they obviously were not, because they were planted on the train line side of the properties. That would be the only exception for those young juvenile trees to be ever pruned before they reached a certain size, was if they were a hindrance to somebody, for example, exiting or entering their drive or exiting their driveway. So, yes. I agree with you that it would be a duplication.
Thank you, Your Worship. And I thank the staff for their honesty and responses to the matter. I appreciate that. I think what this sends, Your Worship, is a message that when the community are outraged, as one particular resident was outraged, and as well as myself, I think I've made that pretty clear, where there's concerns around the operations of council members, we have a responsibility as a board, not only as a board, but as a community representative, to raise those. And that's what I'm doing in this case. And whether it's tree pruning or any other function, whether it's youth services or whatever, we have the right to raise these matters and reinforce them as part of that representative function. And I'll leave it at that. Sure, thank you, Your Worship. Members will notice that the motion on the screen has been amended to change the date from 1 January 2017 to reflect the end date of the contract. I don't think I need to say a lot about this motion. Clearly we're under pressure to find savings in the current economic environment, and I think this is a feel-good measure that we can't afford.
That the money saved from, it's $24,000 is actually reinvested by this council into infrastructure that will create renewable energy. In other words, instead of paying the electricity providers this $24,000, we actually revert back to using bog standard electricity, and the $24,000 per annum that we save is invested into photovoltaic cells within our city. Now, this is consistent with the subject that we raised at the Strategic Advisory Committee. Members, in the report, written by Anne Gibbons, our Manager of Environmental Sustainability. The last paragraph talks about purchase of accredited green power contributes to Marion's biophilic aspirations by reducing the organisation's carbon footprint and minimising the impact on climate. Council may choose to consider investing in an alternative renewable energy option, i.e. rooftop solar panels on council buildings instead of continuing purchase of green power when a new electricity supply contract for street lighting is negotiated towards the end of 2016. Members, what I'm proposing is I plagiarised the council officer's report. This is consistent with the report. It does provide an alternative. It actually meets Councillor Appleby's climate change denial urges. It meets my climate change acceptance urges. It's a win-win, Mr. Mayor, and it's consistent with something I've been saying for a while, that we are living up to community expectations in terms of our stewardship with alternative energies. The number of photovoltaic cells that we have collectively on our council buildings is dwarfed by many homes owned by individual ratepayers in the city. It's a poor effort. So that's my, I welcome this actually, because it's something that's been on my mind for a while. It's absolutely gold in terms of what are my aspirations is to actually do exactly this. So that's what I urge the council to do, that we actually use that money to create our own energy, which is accumulative every year. We're going to add to this up until the point in time the council says stop. So we've got plenty of council buildings to actually proliferate these photovoltaic cells on. So I urge the members to support this.
Yeah, I definitely support this motion. I agree with most of what Bruce has said wholeheartedly in that we really are lacking any sort of renewable infrastructure. And one thing I'd like to add is that the typical payback is about 8 years. Now, I don't know what our details of our electricity costs are, but typical payback about 8 years. After that, I'll give you all the money back. And then year over year, you can reinvest or do what you want with it. This is just one way to get our foot in the door with some solar infrastructure. And you know, we labelled it in our strategic directions that we need to do more of this, and this seems like a good opportunity.
Hopefully I can get the answers for it. Now, this is a premium on top of the cost of electricity, or is it, so for example, if it costs us $100,000 to buy electricity, are we paying an extra $20,000, so 20% of that can be green energy, or does it cost us $100,000 for all our electricity, $20,000 is towards green energy, so the net saving would actually be less? And secondly, how much, I guess, in greenhouse gases are we reducing with this purchase? So that way we can get an idea, or perhaps how many kilowatts at least are being produced for this cost. I think that probably like other things in tonight's report should have been included, because that is a consideration, and I will make comment on that. We do have some solar panels on the Park Holme Community Centre, which they purchased with a grant. I believe we won $10,000 from Zen as a door prize, and we got some solar panels. And I can tell you, it appeared that they saw us coming, because we got a system the size of something that I paid $2,000 for at home, and they told us we needed to get a Mac and a computer or something. So there's a whole lot of extra costs as well. Also, there was a payment from everyone who did get involved in that Zen payment, Zen energy program, of $100 and $200 to the LGA, and I believe some of that money has been sent back to us for certain programs. But I guess I want to know what gets the best bang for our buck. And I think purchasing the energy is actually better as far as reducing greenhouse energy. Also, the and it's in line and it's simple and it's easy. So I would like us, if we are going to change, that we look at what those options are. So I would like that information, if we can have it provided to us, that would be great. And secondly, I guess, I respectfully disagree with my fellow ward councillor. I believe this is based more on what might be a personal belief. And I think that we represent a broad community. And this is one of the things that that a lot of people in our community want. So if we sort of do the maths, there's a much higher percentage of people that support us doing more on renewable energy than there are than this represents as far as total rate take.
Yeah, I have a question for Councillor Lescu. Do you know that nuclear power is by far the cheapest way to make power? Just a question.
Yes, I couldn't support this motion unless there was already plans for solar panels to be used. But I support using solar power in one way or the other, and I'm not unhappy to change the solar panels, but until there's an arrangement to or actual plan to do that, I couldn't support this motion.
Yeah, I'd support the amendment. I believe we should be investing in solar power, even if you don't want to support green energy. I think from a financial point of view, if we're given the option of looking at the figures, Councillor Pryor mentioned that 8 years to pay off. On a building this size, it'd probably be slightly less, because the consumption of electricity in this building is mainly during the day and not a lot at night, whereas other buildings take a lot longer because they have a lot of nighttime use. So I would support the amended motion, because I believe we should be investing in something which ultimately reduces council costs.
Thank you, Worship. I'm not in favour of the... I am, but I'm not in favour of the amendment. And the reason I say that, I represent my community, and my community tell me that trees are a better investment than solar power. They provide a better amenity than a solar panel can. The other thing they believe in is LED street lighting, which I'm a fan of, and I think that if we were able to use that money to push the agenda for widespread LED lighting across the city of Marion, we'll save even more money.
In our community plan, there was a lot of support for environmental issues, and I support the amendment in that we need to be seeking as many renewable ways as possible.
Thank you, Worship. Look, I am in favour of this. Just a question, though. So does this, the spirit of this motion mean, and I don't know, I presume it's probably actually a question for Councillor Hull as opposed to you, but for you. Does the spirit of this motion therefore mean that we're, at the current rate, the number is 24,000, so we're therefore spending 24,000 per annum on, say, for example, it says renewable energy, but let's say solar, because everyone's talking about solar. So we're spending 24,000 a year on panels and inverters. Would that be the spirit of it, Councillor Hull?
Well, you're quite right. And it's, in this council term, it's $96,000. And it doesn't have to be solar. It could be wind. We need to think outside the square a bit.
So just a supplementary on that, and I'm just sort of clarifying my own thoughts there. To my knowledge, green power is on a bang for buck, solar versus green power by kilowatts. I think green power would be cheaper to buy, but if this is an ongoing thing where we're investing $24,000 a year, then gradually it will catch up because we're producing more kilowatts through the solar. So, sorry, I just need to clarify my own thoughts there. Thank you.
Yes, so I've just come into the debate now with some of the later comments that have been made. I'm questioning the fact that Councillor Hull has now said, oh, it could be wind or anything. Are we really looking at that the amendment to it shouldn't state what we're going to, but that it's, well, you have said renewable energy. Is that what you're meaning, to cover both solar? Because the debate was solar, and I want to just clarify, are we just talking about solar, or are we talking about more options, and we're going to review those later next year? I want to clarify that point.
Yeah, just to repeat, it does say inter-infrastructure. It's not specific. It could be solar. It could be wind. I don't think geothermal was really part of our situation here in Marion, but, you know, yeah, certainly wind and solar is the scope of this.
That the movers talked about LED lighting, is that something that, as far as putting something general as an energy savings to be included as a consideration, is that something that movers are looking to do, or just sticking to renewables?
Thank you, Worship. I think the savings should be realised and not directed elsewhere. I think it's counterproductive to spend money on whether it be the green power or the solar panels or wind power. I think that the more you tax people, the harder they have to work and the more emissions they'll create, so it's completely counterproductive. It's not going to change the temperature. It's not going to make one bit of difference. No one's going to be updating their modelling tomorrow about whether it's going to be hotter or colder based on what we do tonight. And finally, solar panels, wind, whatever it is, so-called described as renewable, how renewable really is it when the materials have to be mined? So I think it's deceptive to call those sources of power renewable anyway.
Move the motion, please. It might seem a bit frivolous or minor to a lot of people, but the very basics, as people have already read, was basically that we should mean what we say and say what we mean, especially when it's in literal form. And that's about it, really. Other than the fact that I've actually sent this suggestion to, I think it was the Premier's department, and he had advice from Aboriginal group, whoever advises him, and after a lengthy period they came back and agreed, and they're supposed to be changing the form of words to be used officially, I don't know where, throughout the state, I guess, eventually, but it hasn't got around yet. So I think it's worthwhile doing just to make sure that we're saying what we mean. We don't want to just say that we would like to do it. Sure, we'd like to, but we have to say, we have to declare we are acknowledging. That's it. Thank you.
No, that's fine. Just that I wholeheartedly agree.
I've seen these gestures made towards the Kaurna people a number of times over the years. The first one was three attempts to get the flag flown out the front back in 1995 or whatever. I just Yes, I do, but I just want them to actually reiterate something I've said many a time, that all of these gestures needs to actually transgress into action, and it gets back to the association with land. The Kaurna people don't have any land, and we really should be working towards that.
I'm going to speak against it, Your Worship. I don't think we should have the acknowledgement full stop. I think...
Can I just ask a question? In Mitcham, they actually use a different term. I think they just say Aboriginal people. Is anyone able to explain why that is to me?
The question is based on the belief that in the Mitcham Council area, they talk about Aboriginal people rather than Kaurna people, and whether anyone can offer a definitive answer about why that might be the case. That's probably as good a short answer as you'll get. All right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried. Now, I'm aware that some members might want to move motions without notice. That may still be possible, but we do have two important confidential matters to address first, so let's get those out of the way. If we are efficient in the way we conduct ourselves, we may have time for motions without notice as well. So I turn now to the Marion Leisure and Fitness matter, and Councillor Hutchinson is moving that we go into confidence, so to speak. Seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried.